We're back with David Hoey, who is a trial attorney who specializes in nursing home neglect and abuse cases. And we're talking about contingency fee agreements, and you mentioned the statutory format. And those of us who do medical malpractice know that we're restricted in terms of what we charge as a contingency fee and on a declining scale. So as the value of the case goes up, the percentage that the lawyer takes actually goes down. And that's been in effect since 1986. Now, nursing home neglect and abuse cases are somewhat hybrid cases from your typical medical malpractice case, in that there is a malpractice component, but there are other components to nursing home cases that are not medical malpractice. David, would you explain that to everybody?
Sure. Nursing homes' ownership or corporate structure kind of exists like a pyramid. Up at the top of the pyramid, you have a parent company, or usually a large out-of-state corporation. In the middle of the pyramid, you would have a management company. This is actually the operator. This is the company that usually hires and fires the administrator of the facility and staff, supposed to be providing the training and supervision of staff, the operating company, the management company. And then in the bottom part of the pyramid, you would have all the licensed nursing homes. They actually apply for a license in the state, similar to how you would apply for a driver's license. The state approves you as a licensed nursing facility, and you have a license to do whatever you have to do. So when only one of those three companies is a medical provider by law, which means two of the companies cannot receive Medicare or Medicaid money, because they're not providing medical services. Only the licensee can provide the medical services and be reimbursed by Medicare or Medicaid for what they do. So when I have to bring a claim, I have a corporate negligence case, which is the parent company or the management company did not, under my theory of allegation, my allegations and theory of liability, did not provide the licensee, the actual nursing home, with enough management, supplies, resources, or money to meet all the needs of the residents at the licensee level. So that's the corporate negligence theory. And then I have the medical negligence theory, or the lack of skilled care theory, on the licensee, which is the medical provider. So it is a cross. It is two types of theory. And there's a standard of care that we have to use. And
what is that? What is the standard of care?
Well, that's a good question, Frank. And I often get asked that question by jurors and judges because the standard of care in a medical negligence case, a medical malpractice case, is not the standard of care in a nursing home case. Okay? The standard of care in a medical malpractice case is a community standard, what a reasonable, prudent doctor concentrating in their specialty of surgery or what have you, is. And that comes down to a battle of the experts. Dr. A comes in for the plaintiff and says, the standard of care for a surgeon is to do ABC. And then the surgeon brings his or her expert in and says, no, standard of care is DEY. You know, it's different. And then the jury has to sit there and decide what the standard of care should be. In a nursing home setting, the standard of care is sketched out for us. It's almost engraved in stone. And that is that a nursing home must, that's a key word, not may, must follow all physicians' orders. They must develop and follow a care plan. We talked about that a little bit earlier. They must follow their own policies and procedures for the care, protection, and safety of the residents. They have to have policies and procedures dictated by federal law. And then they must follow two sets of rules, regulations. They are the Code of Massachusetts regulations for long-term care facilities, for the care, protection, and safety of residents in long-term care facilities. And they must follow a Code of Federal Regulations. federal law for the same thing, the care, protection, and safety of the residents in a nursing home. These are mandatory. They must be followed.
And as you know, in Massachusetts, under our rules of evidence, violation of any type of statute, whether it's federal, state, or even a company's own rules, is evidence of negligence at a trial. Now, is there a consumer protection aspect as well? Are there statutes, consumer protection statutes, that come into play here?
There are. Massachusetts has a very, very, very good consumer protection laws. And one of those is that consumers of nursing home services and goods, so those residing in nursing homes, are consumers of those nursing services and goods. And if the nursing home or its corporate entity or its management company are not providing those services and goods, and or the nursing home has violated those regulations that I just talked about, those rules for the care, protection, and safety of residents, that is a violation, or can be considered a violation, of the consumer protection laws of Massachusetts. And we often pursue that avenue. And the level of proof is a little bit higher. I would have to show that the corporate entity or the management company or the licensee did not provide the necessary resources, supplies, allocation of money to the nursing home for the resident's benefit, and something bad happened to the resident as a result of it, and show that there was a violation of the federal law or state law that for the care and protection of those residents. It's a very hard road to go, but it's still an active, viable law in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and we continue to pursue that avenue. And that has a 4-year statute of limitations compared to the traditional three years. For the injury.
And I'm going to ask you kind of a rhetorical question, but are there really any frivolous nursing home cases being brought?
There are. I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them in Massachusetts. What I will call the heyday, the height of the nursing home litigation throughout the state of Texas and Florida and the Southern Belt, you know, everybody and their uncle said they did nursing home cases, and they did them. And I feel, although I don't have any statistics or concrete evidence on this, that there may have been some frivolous cases filed. But here in Massachusetts, I have not seen any. We're a very strict state. We're a very tough state. We have a screening process in this state.
That's a tribunal system?
The tribunal system, where you have a judge, a lawyer in the community, and a medical professional in the community taking a peek at your case. And if they pass it, it's designed to get rid of frivolous cases.
Correct.
So here in this state, I have not seen the frivolous nursing home cases filed.
Now, in bringing these cases, are there any pitfalls in bringing these cases as an attorney? What are some of the pitfalls or things that you run into in terms of defenses and that type of thing? Because these cases are very vigorously defended. We don't just walk into court and ask someone to write us a check. I mean, they are very rigorously defended. Explain that a little bit.
Sure. The nursing home industry is a very, very large industry. They're a national industry. They have a lot of money. They do a lot of lobbying for laws, and they hired some of the best defense lawyers that they can. In terms of defenses, they blame the family. Family didn't visit enough. Family should have known. They blame the victim. The person was old. The person was sick. They were going to die anyway. They blame someone else. Don't look at us. The doctor made the prescription. The nurse practitioner didn't examine the bed sore, if that's the case. Those are the traditional defenses that I see in almost every single case. If I don't see one of those brought up, then I know I've got an absolute slam dunk, even though there's no such thing as a slam dunk in our profession. But where I can block out their defenses entirely, that's very helpful. Those are the common defenses. In terms of pitfalls, Massachusetts license requirements for nursing homes does not require a nursing home to have professional liability insurance. So there are nursing homes out there that have neglected or abused or maltreated an elderly person and do not have insurance to protect them from a lawsuit. Kind of, it would be equivalent to driving your car without car insurance, and you've gotten an accident and hurt somebody. What are they going to do? They can't go after your insurance company, so they have to come after you individually. So that is one pitfall, is we don't know until we're into a case as to whether there's insurance, professional liability insurance for what happened. Another pitfall, and this is a pitfall that happens before a case even gets to a jury, and that is that the nursing home industry has implemented in their admission documentation a document called arbitration. Now, if I
what is arbitration?
That's a good question, because the majority of the people don't know what it is. But the bottom line is that arbitration is a waiver of you or your loved one's constitutional right to a jury. And if this document exists within the admission paperwork of a nursing home or an assisted living facility, and it's signed, you may have waived you or your loved one's right to a constitutional right to a jury. I repeated that twice because it is very, very, very important.
Explain that, yes.
To know that. And the nursing home industry has been implementing this for about the last 5 or 6 years, particularly here in Massachusetts, longer in other states. And I have seen serious, serious problems in nursing homes just get swept underneath the carpet. Here is how arbitration is unfair, okay? You get no jury. You get limited discovery. Sometimes you only get to take one deposition. It costs you money. Sometimes a lot of money. It's a shortened time frame. It's an unusual process. It's got different rules than the rules of court. They have their own rules. The nursing home industry gets to pick who the arbitrator is. You don't. The awards are lower than what a jury would award. It's confidential, so no one ever hears what happened. And 9 out of 10 times, the opportunity for punitive damages is gone.
When we get back, we're going to continue on that thought, but we are definitely going to learn about the roadmap. And thank you. We'll be back in a minute.